Hello, it's Ron Van Damme. Pleasure to have you here today. A lot of people will be shocked to learn that I am actually British. I am. I did one of those DNA things, those quirky little DNA things where what you do is you spit into a little cup or something like that and you send the cup to an address somewhere and they check out your DNA and they send you back a report as to what your background is, who your parents were, your great-great-great-grand-cousins, and it tells you where you came from, what country is your origin, what parts of you by percentage are from other countries, other locations. And there you find out about your genealogy and things like that, other words that no one ever heard of, through your DNA spitting into a cup. So I actually did that, and I was waiting with bated breath. My breath was bated. I don't know what it's like to smell bated breath, but it was quite bated. And finally, I ran downstairs a few days ago because I was there was an envelope from the genealogy place, and I opened it up, and I found that I am 22% British. I actually have some British blood in me. I don't know how that happened. So now, in my mind, psychologically, I'm walking around. All of a sudden, I am 22% British, which is so close to 100%, it's not funny. So I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm not American at all. I am actually British. Now, I was born in the United States, but I think that was a mistake. I'm feeling British all of a sudden. My teeth are beginning to rot, and I'm starting not to bathe every day. And that means that I'm British. I'm starting to find that my food choices are not good. So I am indeed British. It's like coming out of the British closet. It was like I spent most of my life as an American, and now I'm realized I'm 22% British, which is almost 100. So therefore, I've come out of the British closet. And then I started talking differently. All of a sudden, I didn't have this American, foolish American accent anymore that sounds like you're flat and uninteresting. All of a sudden, I feel Shakespearean. I feel a connection to the arts. And I feel so much more civilized now that I know that I am 22% British. It could even be as high as 26. I don't know. I glanced at it, and that was enough for me. So, if you're used to hearing the Ron Van Damme show with this stupid American accent, I am actually British, and I have found myself. I was looking for myself yesterday. I looked in the closet, under the bed. I looked in the garage, but I couldn't find myself. And now I've realized with this genealogy report by spitting into a cup that I've discovered myself. I am indeed British. And I had always wondered why I had a certain connected to the Brits, a connection that I thought was odd. When I heard a British person speak, I was intrigued by the accent, and I always wondered, why am I so intrigued with that particular accent? It's because I'm 22% British, as I just told you. And why was I so sexually repressed? It's because I'm British. It explains everything in a nutshell, in the shell of my nut. It explains everything. So I hope you'll accept me as I am, because I am who I am. And that's that, and I know that now. I'm fully aware of that, my genealogy. I'm fully aware, and I am who I am. I can't change who I am. My God, I spit into a cup. What more proof do you need? I think more people should be spitting into cups, to be honest with you. I think it's a fine, fine practice. And if you do so and send it into this place, you will find out you are probably British as well. I found myself. I feel so free. I feel like taking off my shoes and running through an open field with a dog.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night.
Night.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hadn't you ever wondered why there are British girls that use their voices at the beginning of the program, why they're not American? And I was wondering that, too. Why? Why? Now I know. 22%. Well, that's that. And there you have that. That is what that is. There you have it. You have it now. You fully have it. What is it with your President Trump, your president in your country? What is up with that shit? I don't quite understand where you people come from as far as choosing leaders. We have some pretty funky, weird prime ministers and things like that as well. I grant you that, but what the hell happened to you? I don't quite understand your country. You don't do much about that stupid moronic president who doesn't know how to read. You do nothing about him, and at the same time, you get all involved in your Super Bowl things, and you go over the top. You start dressing like a football team in your everyday life, and you yell and scream, and you set off fireworks, and you tune in to this show of animal perpetude, and yet you do nothing about this gargantuan asshole in your White House. I don't understand. If you used half the energy that you used for the Super Bowl in your politics, you'd be in a different place. I don't, just saying as an outsider. I have some of my money in one of your American banks, and I went in there yesterday in order to... I live in the Boston area, the very people that overthrew my country. I live in the Boston area, as I've said many times before, only in a different accent. And I went into the bank because I needed some cash. I needed some cash. Because hot dog vendors apparently don't take credit cards. Well, that was surprising. I thought everybody did. So I needed some cash. So I went into my bank and I walked in, and all the people that worked in the bank were dressed like football players. They were wearing football T-shirts and football sweatshirts and things like that. And I got quite perturbed, because why in the world would you dress like that in a bank? You're handling my money, which is quite serious to me. I don't take my money as to be a light-hearted subject. It is necessary in our lives. And yet this amount that I had in the bank was being guarded by children dressed in Halloween costumes, thinking they're football players. Delusional people. What do you think? Someone's going to tap you on the shoulder while you're dressed like that and say, "We're down a player. Could you run onto the field and quarterback for a while?" I mean, no. You look foolish. You're a 60-year-old woman dressed like a 10-year-old child. What is with you? And your job is to watch my money. Why are you not watching my money? Why do you think I have my money in your bank? I need someone to watch it all the time. I want someone to sit there in a three-piece suit with a bowler hat and do nothing but watch my money and make sure nothing happens to it. Unless it grows, you can watch it grow, but do not watch it not grow, and do not not watch it. So I was perturbed. So I went up to the bank officer, who was dressed like a football player, and I said, "Excuse me, why aren't you dressed appropriately? Because I have money in this bank, and I expect you to dress in a money manner. I want you to look like you're serious about what you do, because this is serious to me." And the bank officer looked at me and said, "Well, don't you realize we're in New England, and the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and they've won the Super Bowl?" And I said, I really don't know anything of your people. I don't know what your bowl is talking about. The only bowls I know are the salad bowl and a toilet bowl, not Super Bowl. Why don't you stop acting like children and get on with things and start watching my money?" Well, the bank officer did not take kindly to my comments and threw me out of the bank. And I said, "You can't do that. This is why I have my money. I am connected to my money." Well, that didn't actually happen. I made that all up. But there was a fascinating story, though, wasn't it? And I think I made my point in telling you this fascinating story. I want people to stop dressing up like football players and to get back into the real world where they have responsibilities. Seriously. I am in need of a car, of an automobile, and it's daunting. It's daunting. I had not realized how much automobiles are in your country. I was looking at automobiles, and I need an automobile that is of good size, because I'm a good size person. I am 6'3" tall, British, and I need something that will fit me. And if I ever have anybody that I'm driving around, I need somewhat of a back seat. So I need a good size car. Well, I started looking around at various car manufacturers, and I started test driving some of these cars. Of course, everybody in the car dealership was dressed up like a football player. What's going on with that? What's with this football player thing going on with that? So anyway, so I said, "Well, how much are your automobiles, your vehicles?" And they said, "Well, they start at about $30,000 and go all the way up to $60,000 at this particular dealership." I said, "What? Do you know how much money that is?" They said, "Yes." I said, "I went down to my bank. Everybody was dressed like football players. I don't have that kind of money. And if I did, I couldn't blow it all on a car. I mean, am I buying a car or am I buying a condo? That's a lot of money. $30,000-$40,000 for an automobile. Are you serious? Are you serious?" They said, "Well, you can get a used car, sir. You could take a car, get a used car." I said, "Used? Are you kidding me? Other people have sat in that driver's seat and literally farted and picked their nose. I can't sit in somebody else's car. That's disgusting. That's like wearing somebody else's pants. Why would I wear somebody else's pants? Just because the pants might be cheaper, because they're secondhand pants. No, 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 no. Don't even go there. I need a new car." "Well, sir, that's going to cost you about $40,000. $40,000? I can't. "Well, then you could lease the car." "Well, all right. How much would that be?" "That's approximately $600 a month. $600 a month? That's half of my rent. You can't be serious. You can't be serious. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't." Thank God it wasn't a female auto salesperson. They might have misunderstood with my accent when I was saying, "You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. But you can't charge me that much. It's too much money. What do? Uber the rest of my life? Uber every day? Uber, Uber, Uber? No, then I'm getting into somebody else's car. And here we go again with people who already sat on that seat. I can't do that. I can't do it. I can't. You can't. I can't." So I'm in a pickle. I'm in a dilemma. I don't quite know what to do about this. I do need a vehicle in order to get around. Around? But yet, how can anybody afford something like this? And the price of cars every year goes up, up and up and up. Why is that? Why is that? You know, the one item in your country here that seems to always go down is flat-screen television sets. That's good. When they come out for the first time, they're like $2,000. And then if you wait a year, they're down to $200. It's like, what? How could they depreciate that fast? Why can't you do that with automobiles? Yes, I bought this automobile last year. It was $40,000. What's it worth now? $200,000. It's going the wrong way. It's going the wrong way. So I say to you, I say to you that I'm in a pickle. I'm in a pickle. I think I've talked about this before. One of the things that I don't understand is the fried pickle thing. I see it on the menus now as an appetizer, fried pickles, and people that have had the fried pickles say that they're very, very tasty. They're very, very good. But I refuse to eat a fried pickle. I don't believe that pickles should be fried. I just think it's wrong. And when you feel something is wrong, then it is wrong to you. I don't want to try it. I don't like fried food. I never thought I'd walk around frying a cucumber. It doesn't make any sense. A bit wrong, it's actually very tasty. Oh, so is a turd. Come on. Get with it. Get with it. I can't do it.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice? Or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I don't understand. What were you thinking?
I don't know. Do you know how I know that I'm British besides that stupid spit-in-the-cup thing I did? I prefer tea all of a sudden. Never did before. I've had coffee every once in a while. I'm not fanatical about coffee either, but I certainly never had any tea. Now, for some reason, I crave tea. But not just any tea. I crave strange flavors of tea, like mocha, mint, chamomile, rose petal tea. I also, I like my tea in a ball. They sell these little tea balls, and you put the tea leaves inside the tea balls, and you dip that in, and you let it steep for 6 days, and I found that to be quite appetizing. So that's how I know I'm actually British. We have some interesting,
guests coming up pretty soon in the program, talking about all different types of topics, experts who have written books and things like that.
So that's happening momentarily. Actually, it can happen any time now. You never know when something like that's going to happen, because they just kind of sneak up on you all of a sudden, and there you are in the interview with the guest. I have learned so much from these guests that I've had on this program, because a lot of them have written books. Isn't it interesting that you can be a nobody? You know nothing about anything, and then you write a book, and all of a sudden people start saying, oh, you're the expert. It's like this Donald Trump little piece of shit guy who apparently was this business mogul who really lost more money than he made. It was a shyster from the day he was born. But nonetheless, he writes this book, The Art of the Deal, and it sells a lot of copies because he's a scam artist. And then you find that he didn't actually write the book because he can't read and he can't write. So you find that he had co-authors involved and didn't use their names, probably just murdered them after the task was completed.
In any event, then you find out that he becomes president because he wrote a book. That's why, because he wrote a book, and he's always talking about himself. And you bought into that. You bought into this self-touting mechanism. You just bought into it because you were weak at the time. The only other choice you had was this Hillary Clinton lady who wore pantsuits. That disqualifies her immediately from any job. You can't even run a Staples if the woman's wearing a pantsuit every day. Come on. Come on. You can wear a nice jacket and a pencil skirt, perhaps, but a pantsuit looking like Mao Tse-tung all the time, that doesn't work for anybody. So the choices were slim, so I get it. But now the choice is quite obvious that you don't need a choice. You've made a mistake. This man doesn't know how to deal with anything. He does not negotiate anything. He gets his panties in a bunch and takes nothing less than what he wants to begin with. There's no negotiation. There's no deal. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he didn't write the book. The man is inept at everything that he says he can do. If you want the real truth about anything about this Donald Trump person, the truth is that there is no truth. Anything he says, it's the opposite. Because he doesn't know the difference. He's a delusional piece of crap. And I can say that because I'm British. That's a phrase that we use in England all the time, a delusional piece of crap. That's what we call each other in a loving way, you know, like you get married at the altar and the priest says, do you take this delusional piece of crap to be your lawfully wedded husband? And she says, yes. And then the priest says, do you take this bride, this delusional piece of crap to be your wife? And you say, yes, it's a matter of affection is what it is. But you people here in the United States, it's the opposite. It's the opposite, actually. But that's what that actually means. We use that term all the time, delusional piece of crap. It's used a lot. A lot of people ask me, they say, like, Ron, why do you worship the Queen? We don't worship the Queen. We just don't know how to get rid of her. She's always there. She's got this gigantic house in the middle of everything. And what are you going to do? What do you do with these people? What do you do? What do you do with them? Nothing. You just leave them there. And you make believe it's like Disney World, you know, without the animated characters. That's all you do. It's just fun. That's all. It's harmless. Stop making a big deal about it. It's harmless. There's no harm involved with anything like that. All right. All right. It's time to speak to our guest now. Because I can't go on like this with this accent forever. It's driving me nuts. How long I'm going to put up with this particular bit. Anyway, we're going to talk about... Do you have any children, by the way? Huh? Do you? Well, do you? At some point, they're not already there, they're going to have to go to college. And how do you get them into college anymore? That's also quite expensive. That costs almost as much as a car. Actually, it's like buying four cars over the space of 4 years. It's absurd. Kids go to college so they can drink and do drugs and they don't learn a damn thing and they get a piece of paper and you've just spent all this money. Who's the damn fool now? Your country is just so messed up. Anyway, how do you get your kid into the better schools? Let's find out, shall we? Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good morning.
Terry Redigan. Great.
How are you today?
I'm great. Terry Redigan is the AP Vice President of the College Board, Advanced Placement, we call it. And we're talking about helping your little wonderful kids get a head start on a good placement when it comes to going to further education. You've been around for a while. I think we've talked before, I believe. You
might have been some time ago.
Some time ago. It was 1927, I believe, we last talked. Some people are aware of this, some people not, which is, I guess, is why we're here today. There are various things that you can do to give your give a student kind of a head start here.
Yeah, for sure. So AP courses, advanced placement courses, are college-level courses in high school. And the benefits of AP are real. Students can earn credit that saves them time and money in college. College admissions officers, they tell us They look for students who challenge themselves by taking AP courses in high school. And those students who take those courses, they have an opportunity to develop skills, critical thinking, reasoning, communication, skills that will help them in college and beyond.
Can any AP course be taken? Are there certain qualifications to doing this?
Yeah, schools out there really are promoting what we call open access policies, right? If a student has the desire to challenge themselves and succeed, many schools are opening up, and we support that and advocate for schools to open up their policies to give students a chance at the opportunity to get the benefits of AP. There's good news, too. We have an online tool that helps students through the process of figuring out which AP course might be right for them.
Yep.
Millions of students took the PSAT and MSQT last fall, and there's an online score report that they can go to right now. And there's a section in there called AP Potential, and it lists all of the AP courses at a student's school and indicates which of those courses a student has a particularly strong potential of being successful in based on how they did in that PSAT last fall.
Great. Now, if you take an AP course and for some reason you don't do well because you miscalculated or it just didn't work out, is this detrimental to your high school grades?
Yeah, so an AP course is delivered locally by an AP teacher. Mm-hmm. They all go through what we call a course audit process, which is a pretty straightforward attestation process. They submit their syllabus and some other resources, and they tell the college board how they're going to teach the course, and we say that looks great. That meets our curricular requirements. But teachers have a bit of flexibility to implement it. And by the same token, teachers have local control for how they set their grading for students. So, you know, these are challenging college-level courses, and many times schools recognize that by adding some weight to the GPA calculation. We find that over 70% of schools add essentially weighting to the GPA. So in essence, if you earn a B in an AP course, that many places that's the equivalent of an A on your high school GPA. But whether or not a school chooses to do that, you know, the schools put you through a year of rigorous challenge. Colleges recognize that you've taken on that challenge, and they really look for that. As I mentioned, college admissions officials look for that on the transcript, so they know when you take an AP course and really weight that themselves.
Okay. But when you go through this, and I guess you should speak to an advisor, or we'll get some contacts here at the end of this interview on how they can go directly. I would assume that you would a student would find their strengths and pursue those strengths. Are the courses as simple as algebra, math, liberal arts? I mean, like, what do they get interesting? In other words, I guess is my question.
Well, I like to think so. We have 38 courses in all, and AP started over 60 years ago with essentially a college freshman level courses. Some of the ones you referenced. English,
right.
U.S. history, calculus. But what's exciting is we've got new course offerings that have come out in the last few years that are really in tune with the times. We've got something called AP Computer Science Principles, which introduces students to the foundational concepts of computer science. It includes coding. You know, people talk about coding, but it's not only coding. It's hands-on projects that help students learn about the many career opportunities and applications of computer science. And then we've got another set of courses called Capstone, Capstone Seminar, and Capstone Research. And these are skills-based courses. Teachers help students choose a topic that's of interest to them, and students learn college-level research, presentation, and other skills on a topic they're passionate about. And we find when they do that, students can become much more engaged.
Well, you can't go wrong, in a sense. Unless you have...
teachers and students alike are really enjoying some of these new offerings that we've got out there.
That's exciting, because it seems like when you do an AP course, the reward is tangible. And not to say that it's not just with regular high school classes, but this is a tangible reason and tangible payback, in a sense.
Well, right on. I mean, nearly all U.S. colleges and universities grant credit and placement for a qualifying AP exam score. So that's a score of 3, 4, or 5. Mm-hmm. And when a student earns that credit, they can send their scores nearly anywhere. By contrast, some other credit-granting programs may not see their credit transfer so easily from, mm-hmm. say, state to state to mm-hmm. state, but AP has been around a long time and has relationships with so many colleges, and you can send your credit nearly anywhere, and that's college credit, mm-hmm. which can range into thousands of dollars for college credits, and you can put in work in high school and get through a course and earn a qualifying score. Yeah. You can forego that and spend your money in other places on your education or just keep that in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it a financial advantage in that sense, but it's also like a foot in the door to where you want to go anyway.
Exactly.
That other people don't have. Yeah. Okay. I guess one can go to their counselors in their school. This seems to be something that a parent and a student would do in concert together, certainly. What if they wanted to contact directly the AP program?
Yes. So thanks for saying that. You should definitely talk with your high school counselor, your teachers, your parents, all those folks that care about you. Make sure you use those resources that you have directly to you. But if you want more information on AP, go to our website, exploreap.org. You can learn about the 38 courses, some of those new offerings, and many of the other things we talked about, even some things we didn't have a chance to talk about today.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's plenty. Terry, thank you so much for telling us. I mean, maybe in some schools they talk about it, but to get the actual meat and bones of it, they might be making a phone call, certainly. And I believe it's parents that are listening to this program. Kids should be in school. They shouldn't be listening now. So we're kind
of... My pleasure, Ron.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Bye now.
Yeah. I didn't use my British accent during that interview because I was afraid that... Oh, I was afraid that that might rattle them. So I did that interview at the end of last week, and I wasn't talking like this then, but I didn't know that I was 22% British at the time. Now I do. Things have changed. But until we hook up again tomorrow, I do look forward to seeing you tomorrow again. I wish you peace.